Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you serious?
So there's plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Right now you're killing some time with myself, Marcus Bronzy, and once again,
Mr. Midas, I'm here again. I hope you're not tired of my voice.
Not at all, not at all, man. And it is day one of the convention, E3. We've managed to find a corner where there's a little less noise. I mean, the place is crazy. Apparently 60,000 people are at E3 this year. 60,000.
It's mad, isn't it?
It's crazy. But let's get straight into it. What have you seen today? What was the first thing on your menu?
So the first thing this morning, I watched Nintendo Treehouse. So I watched loads of reveals. The biggest one was the new Super Smash Brothers, Super Smash Brothers Ultimate. They have brought back every single character that's been in any Smash game.
Every single character from every Smash game.
Yeah,
that's a lot of characters.
It is a lot of characters. Another really good reveal was Bandai Namco's Dragon Ball FighterZ is on the Switch. And then probably the biggest reveal of the night right now in relevance, Fortnite is now on Switch, and you can download it free tonight.
What do you think that's going to mean for Fortnite?
I think it's going to mean a lot of younger audiences being able to play the game, because I think as a parent, if you see a Nintendo Switch and you see a shoot 'em up that's cartoon looking, they're not going to see it as anything degraded. It doesn't look like a PUBG. And as soon as we got here, you saw me rushing. So I was rushing off to V-Rally 4, which is basically a driving simulator. I'm not huge on driving simulators. I prefer arcade driving games because I just like to drive and not press the brake. But this one was a proper simulator. Like, I was skidding all over the place. Braking, slowing down, great graphics, great lighting. It's not my cup of tea because, like I said, I'm not a thing. So that was cool. Then we both played Strange Brigade.
Yeah, Strange Brigade. In fact, we're in the Rebellion area now.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's anything like it. I think it's something that definitely encourages co-op play, right? It's a game that, you can play it by yourself, but it's definitely designed for co-op. What do you think of it, though?
I was saying to the Rebellion guys that it reminds me of when we were kids and you'd be with your friends just playing a game quickly. It's got that. I don't think I would enjoy playing that as much on my own. I think if you're with your friends, you'll have a blast.
Yeah, yeah. What did you think of the commentary when you're playing the game as well?
It's hilarious.
It's fair to say Strange Brigade is doing its own thing, right?
Yeah.
Going in one direction, and there was another VR game that we both played as well, which went in a totally different direction, wasn't it?
Oh, so it was called Arcus Park. So the protagonist is an unnamed protagonist, and she basically lives in a really bad world where there's garbage and everything, and she gets this VR unit and it makes her have escapism, and it's just literally a VR game that you're moving a ball around with your head. Now that doesn't sound very exciting, but the music, the atmosphere, the way it all comes together is really cool.
What kind of people do you think can play this game? Because when I first heard about VR coming to consoles, I was like, this is only going to be for people that are specifically interested in serious gaming.
I think this is going to be the game that people who want VR for life will play this game. I don't think people that are hardcore gamers are going to be like, yeah, I want that game. It's people that, when VR start doing things like seeing your family on VR, doing conferences via VR, having a meeting in VR rather than flying to another country, these are the games those kind of people will play.
Yeah, Ark is definitely that. And what do you think of the visuals for the game as well?
Love it. Love the art style. Love the look of the characters. Dope.
How would you describe the way it looks? Because it's got a very specific look, hasn't it?
I would say anime. Get a pot, yeah. We're gonna make some gumbo. In our gumbo, we're gonna dash some anime.
Right,
we're gonna dash Boondocks.
Okay.
And then we're gonna dash.
Got a sprinkling of fairy tale.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, I feel like it's got a sprinkling of fairy tale in it. And not in a way where it's like sort of, you know, glass slipper and stuff like that, but it's just got that kind of magical essence to it.
Yeah. So that was really cool. And then the rest of the day was all with Square. A lot of Square things. So I went to the Tomb Raider, Shadow of the Tomb Raider presentation, and I had it behind closed doors, hands on. Really, really liked it. It's a lot more gritty. They're making Lara really dark, and so that was really cool. I love they've got a new mechanic where you put mud on your skin, and it makes you even more stealthy. So like, you literally just got your bow and your knife, and you're just stealthing and going through bushes, jumping off trees. Like, you're like
Arnold Schwarzenegger in Predator.
Took the words out of my mouth, fam. Took it out of my mouth. And then we got to see something really cool. Free title. The Adventures of Captain Spirit.
Yeah, The Adventure of Captain Spirit. Before we move on, though, I just want to say the level of realism that they're achieving in specific games like Tomb Raider is still blowing my mind.
I literally said to the guy, this looks like next gen.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like... This gen's amazing, but it looks like... If this is what this gen looks like, how can you make it look better?
Yeah, I felt like you're watching a movie in third person. Yeah. At certain points, the water, the sweat, the way hair ruffles in the wind, trees in the distance.
It's crazy. Looks so sharp.
Yeah, yeah. And there's one gripe I have about the game, but some people will like this, and we experienced it in the hands-on that we had, and that was definitely the underwater scenes. Now, I'll let you know why this is.
Yeah.
Lara Croft underwater, running out of breath, gives me anxiety. In this game, there is more... as well as a lot of other things, there is a lot of underwater stuff going on, and they managed to add extra levels of anxiety with things making you jump, making you get scared, having to squeeze through really tight spaces while you're running out of air.
So have you played the other reboots?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So she got killed in so much levels, spikes in her head, in her neck, like everyone's just like, ow, ow, like... Yeah. They violated her the way they kill her, and it's like, oh yeah, you wasn't pressure enough to kill you putting spikes through your body, let's make you drown.
Yeah.
This isn't Sonic the Hedgehog, you know, it's not do 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 do. Like, that was calm, innit? Man, gonna deal with that.
That used to give me anxiety as well, actually.
You get stressed easy, fam.
It's just underwater stuff. This is the eel climbing around your neck while you're trying to swim.
Have you seen they've even got traps underwater as well?
I didn't see the traps.
And apparently they've even got piranhas.
I'm just going to have to get down with it, because the rest of the game's awesome. So yeah, that really excited me.
So just quickly, one thing that really impressed me, I didn't obviously say thing, but I've always found, because Tomb Raider and Uncharted now are basically in the same ballpark.
Yeah.
And I find Uncharted probably the best at doing action. It feels like an action game. And I felt like, I think Rise of the Tomb Raider is incredible, but I felt like the action just was missing a bit. It just didn't feel that action-y. This action sequence felt like it. It felt like a proper action movie. It's probably the most I've ever felt like that playing a Tomb Raider game.
And also, it's got quite a seamless jumps between cutscenes and actual gameplay.
Yeah.
So certain games will have quite lengthy bits, quite lengthy cutscenes that you have to watch. And this game seems to bounce in between cutscenes and actual gameplay in a way that you almost don't really know that it happens sometimes.
Yeah.
And then you're back in the action again.
Yeah, it's really true. And they even got the God of War tripe of, like, when you kill someone, it zooms in and and it's a little cutscene and then goes back into the place. So really cool.
Yeah, Lara Croft's stealth, her stealth knockouts and kills are good.
Yeah, she's about this life.
Yeah.
It's like she's from Brixton, fam. Like she's about it. She's either from Bricky or the Norm, one of the two. Either grew up in Pecknarm or Bricks, because she's doing her madness.
So after that, it was the awesome adventures of Captain Spirit. Do you want to kind of set the scene about why this game is how it is and where it sits in the timeline of the franchise that it's in?
Okay, so I don't know, I don't know that much about Life is Strange, but I did complete Life is Strange 1. Life is Strange 1 for me is really fun. It's one of those, I won't say it's a point and click adventure, but it is. It's that kind of really cool art style, about two girls, and one girl found that she had the ability to be able to rewind time. What they've basically done is they want Life is Strange to be about that world and not just those characters. People really, really latched onto both of those characters, and then when they did their 1.5, they removed the main protagonist and made it a prequel. So it seems like each time they're releasing something, they want it to be about that world, different people's stories in that world, and I think that's why they've implemented this. They've created something that's really, really cool. You've got this young boy, he's 9 years old, and he's able to do really cool things because he uses his imagination. Remember when you was a kid and you use your imagination to pretend that you're flying in the spaceship, but in terms of the game, they can actually make you be flying in the spaceship thing. So it's a really, really cool concept, and I think it's two things. I think one is labor of love, because they just love that world.
Yeah.
And I think what they want people to do is they want people to know, almost like, I know it's a weird comparison, but almost like GTA isn't about a character. GTA is about the gameplay and what GTA is. Every single GTA game, it's a new character. So I think that's what they want to really implement. They want people to live in the Life of Strange world and be able to play different games in that world.
Now, you said the game length to me before we started recording this was about 2 hours of play, but I still think that's quite a big gift.
So glad.
Because the game is free.
Yeah, it is.
And
he said it a good few times. He used that shot.
By the way, it's free. Did you know it's free? But you know, when you've got developers rewarding consumers with big bits of content for free, how do you think that will help franchises like Life is Strange?
Oh yeah, well, it's going to do amazing, because there's a child who can't really, his parents can't afford to buy him all of the new games, will get that for free, play it, love it, and then say, you know what, this is a franchise that I want to get into, and then they end up buying it. Also, there's nothing better than a developer showing you how much that you mean to them, and them saying, look, we've made this, it's something brand new, and we're giving it to you. Like, it shows how much they care about their fan base.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think it'll pay off, and I look forward to playing the rest of the game, because there's a lot to get involved with. There's loads of bits of it. And next, it was more Square stuff, wasn't it? We both saw Just Cause 4, and again, visually that blew my mind, but also as a game, I mean, if I didn't know what Just Cause was about, how would you describe it to somebody who was brand new to the franchise?
So I'm going to be 100% honest with you, I'm not a Just Cause fan.
Okay.
So Just Cause is basically, it's a destruction based game, but it's all based around physics. So it's about shooting this, attaching this to something else, and how it reacts in physics. It's got a huge fan base. I'm not one of them.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to do some talking then. Because I'm a big fan of the franchise, because I love physics games. Yeah. So if you don't know about Just Cause, like, you know what, you explained it very well, Manus. It's a game where everything can be destroyed, and you can facilitate the destruction of it with grapples, by either grappling onto stuff and moving yourself towards it, or grappling things together, or grappling people to things. Also, you can fly around in it, or glide is a better set of words.
Sounds like a superhero.
He's a superhero, the main protagonist. And this time around, we've just got more explosions, more grappling styles. You can attach rockets to things. So like, if there's a crate, you can attach 4 rockets to it, and it can float away.
There's one thing I did see, tornadoes.
And yeah, that was it. this is another thing that made me feel like we're looking at next gen stuff. The environments. Now, I know you're not a fan of the game, but you must admit, or the franchise, should we say, but you must admit that the tornado.
Seeing an aeroplane getting lifted up by a tornado was a madness. I'm not even going to lie.
Seeing a missile being fired into a tornado and interacting with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's mad, still. It's mad.
It's crazy. And then the next thing that we looked at was Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, so just to break it down to make it easier. So Kingdom Hearts is basically Final Fantasy meets Disney. So they get characters from Final Fantasy, they get characters from the Disney world, put them together, and it's basically a simpler, I'm not going to say simple, but a simpler RPG.
Yeah, I think that's a fair description, but because they've got all the Disney IP, intellectual property, you get all your favourite Disney characters. Not just running around being Disney, also kicking some ass as well.
Yeah, like it's crazy to see Donald Duck and Goofy fighting and rocking up, man. I'm a huge JRPG fan. Like, I love JRPGs, I love Final Fantasy, and I've only just got into Kingdom Hearts. But this game looks amazing. Like, it just, one thing you said to me that was really important, you said the thing that you didn't want to hear is the two things they put together doesn't just make no sense, so you feel like it's going to be a force. It's like peanut butter and jelly, for we're in America, innit? So peanut
PB&J.
Butter, yeah. That to me makes no sense. Who the ass puts jam with peanut butter? But for people who like it, it works, innit? And I think that's exactly what it is. I think people who don't get it just look at it and say, what is this? I don't get it. But people who do, they love it.
Yeah.
Like, their fan base is crazy. And it plays really well. Like, I found it really easy because it just felt like a traditional Square RPG for me. So, like, I didn't need too much prompting. There was a few things I wasn't too sure about. I played the Hercules world, so they've added a couple new things that you can. They've added verticality, so you can run up walls, and everything's just bigger and better.
Yeah, and gargantuan bosses.
Yeah, huge bosses on some rotted God of War team.
We've also been joined by someone else, so I'm going to give a shout in a second. He's just having a chat with someone else. But before we move on, in the last podcast, we spoke about the potential of Spider-Man.
Yes.
Now, between that being recorded and now...
Do you know one thing we forgot in the last podcast?
What was that?
How did we not mention Cyberpunk 2077?
Do you know, there's just so much going on that we can be forgiven if we cover it now. So I'll let you take the...
So, Cyberpunk is a... RPG set in 2077, I think, and it is from the makers of CD Projekt Red, which is, I think there's, are they Swiss? Yeah, I think they're Swiss, and they made The Witcher series. The Witcher 3 is one of the, it's like up there as one of the best RPGs ever. Like, people love it, incredible. And then they've basically created a whole new RPG, which is in the mod, which is in like the future punk world with cyborgs and guns and all kind of things. It's bright and it's colorful. It's Blade Runner with it's Blade Runner with all the colors from Splatoon. It's very colorful. It just looks so incredible. And I think they made such a great game with The Witcher 3. Everyone's so excited to see what they can make in a futuristic world.
And I can't wait to get hands on with it. I've not yet, but when I get hands on with it, I'd really like to talk about it. Did you get some hands on yet?
No. I don't even think the game's at the stage for anyone.
Really? So
I think
it's just
literally. I think today was the all that's been seen prior has been CGI trailers. It's okay. The first time they actually showed any type of game. I think it was gameplay. Yeah, it was the first time they showed any type of gameplay. And if it wasn't gameplay, then they showed the actual world. But prior to that, it's only been CG trailers.
I look forward to the full experience. That's a good thing about E3. You get to see things that, you know, you get to test how the crowd reacts to certain things, and there's been a strong reaction for that.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
But Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
We spoke in the last pod, we were like, it could be something that goes very well, or it could go in the other direction, because Spider-Man can be a tricky one to hit right.
Yeah.
Now, the conference from Sony had Spider-Man in it, and there was a lot shown to us. How did you feel, and what did we see?
So I'm in two minds. I was excited about Spider-Man, and they've only showed one villain, and then they showed like five, and it was like, it's the blessing and the curse, isn't it? Like, we're blessed to be out here and play games, but then when we play the game, it means we have to replay a scene that we've already played. I think they showed a little bit too much for me personally, because I would have been more happy for them to show 3 villains, and then when I play the game, I'm like, oh, there's 6 villains. I kind of feel like they're making you, they just want to get everyone so hyped, so they're showing you everything. Other than that, everything about it just looks amazing. I think from last year's demo, like, it looks like I was saying to you before, like, it's a labor of love. Like, Sony don't play about with their first party titles, and do not play about with them. If they're going to put out a first party title, it's going to be great. And if it's going to be a superhero one, like, they're not going to play about.
And they're not with this. The gameplay looks phenomenal. It looks smooth. It's probably the best superhero gameplay I've seen since the Arkham series. And I'm not saying that lightheartedly.
That's a big statement.
It looks good. I need to get hands on. If it delivers when I get my hands on it.
I almost think it looks better. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why I say that statement. For me, I think Arkham was best when it was in tight spaces. When it became too open and Spider-Man was flying, Batman was basically flying, it was a bit of a disconnect for me. When Batman's in tight environments and he's brucking up bare people, it's perfect. Spider-Man being able to swing around the whole city just works so well for an open world game. You can't get better.
And he can obviously run up walls, he can set off traps, yeah. He can swing around. It looks like you're getting the full Spider-Man experience.
Yeah,
so that's probably one of the highlights now.
And I'm really excited that they've implemented Miles as well.
Yes. When you saw that, how did you feel?
Yeah, I was like repping for the man there. I like what they've done with Aunt May as well.
Yeah. I mean, she's also a character that people can get wrong sometimes.
Yeah.
Because we've seen various iterations of Aunt May. We've seen just the diddy old granny, and then we've seen like a real tough woman.
Yeah, and then not that we're talking about movies, but then in the reboot of Spider-Man, Aunt May's like some hot spice now.
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, how May become a spice? Like, she meant to be the granny. How is she a spice? That don't make no sense.
Exactly. But I'm going to ask you this now, and I know this could change before the end of the convention, but if you could take one game away with you right now, all games are going to disappear off the face of the earth.
Ooh.
Right? And you could only take one game, one of the games that you've seen here at E3, what would it be?
Oh, that is hard.
Gun to your head.
Gun to my head.
Everything else is
going to... Give me a countdown. 10 seconds.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3.
Cyberpunk.
Wow. And that's all on the potential of the
game. That's on the potential as Witcher 3 being so incredible that the belief in it.
Okay.
That's a huge statement.
All right. Okay.
What about yourself?
I'll answer that.
For me, the gun's already been cocked, so we're going to go to 5. You ain't even got 10 seconds. Right.
Spider-Man. Also, I've bumped into... Do you want to introduce yourself, Ian?
I'm Ian Dransfield.
Thank you.
I'm laughing at my name.
We've also bumped into each other. I didn't know I was going to see you here this year.
Well, you know,
you are a veteran though, aren't you?
I am a veteran, and every time I think about that, it scares me. I've been around many years. I should get a real job, but whatever.
It's working out alright for you.
It's working out fine, yeah. I get to go to E3.
Yeah,
it's better than that.
Exactly. Before we crack on, I want to get this out of the way. How can we find more Ian Dransfield? Because I know that after listening to you, people are going to want to click on something and find you.
I guess the best thing, you can go to my YouTube channel,
yeah,
Bransfield. Just search for Bransfield on YouTube, and you'll find me there. Orion in the future on Twitter if you want to hear my daily moronic ramblings about God knows what.
Definitely worth a click. But you've been here at E3. What have you seen today? First day of the convention.
The first thing I went to see was Remedy's new game, Contact, which was shown, I believe, for the first time at Sony's conference. Kind of a bit of a surprise. They just popped it out there and everyone went, wow, what the hell was that? So I think I know a little bit better what the hell it was, but at the same time, not very much.
So what the hell is it?
Exactly. I don't know if you played Quantum Break, the last game.
Yes.
So it's of a similar theme, and it's a third-person shooter, the camera's following you around, and you've got your little gun shooting the baddies and stuff. That's kind of like the very, very basic theme of it. But it's covered in supernatural elements, and there's these powers that your character has, and she can manipulate the environment around her. Like, she has the shield power where she rips up chunks of concrete from the floor and uses them as a shield, and she can use kind of I don't know the word, but like these supernatural powers to lift up items and bring them to her and use them as weapons and thrash them around and stuff. And you're facing off against these supernatural enemies. You keep saying supernatural a lot. You're facing off against these supernatural enemies that are called the Hiss, I believe. And it's all set in this one building that is infinitely like changing and turning into that. Most of the game is set in this building, and it's constantly changing, and you can do things to manipulate the rooms. And the couple of things they showed us in it is like she walks up and she pulls a light switch, and as soon as she pulls the cord, the light switch cord, the entire environment she's completely changes to somewhere else. And so it's this ever-changing building that's the headquarters of the Federal Bureau of something I've forgotten. I don't have my notes with me. But it's all very mysterious and kind of X-Files-y and all this kind of stuff. And it's, yeah, there's a lot of weirdness going on, but it's really intriguing.
So like with the Quantum series, I always remember it having some sort of extra content that they tied in, like some live-action stuff. Have they gone in that direction again, or have they decided to just keep it all in-game?
So as far as I'm aware from what I've seen, they haven't gone with that kind of thing. And I think they mainly went with that last time because they had like Microsoft's money with them, and Microsoft were like, hey, we'll give you plenty of cash, you can make these film bits, because they were making the TV series for Microsoft, which ultimately was dropped and it turned into just like content for the game. But yeah, this time around, there's still story elements, and from what I could gather from what we saw, there are kind of like little video bits in it, but generally speaking, no, it's more focused just on the game thing. There's not kind of the wider almost television show around it.
Cool. And what else have you been up to then?
The second thing I went to see was a good one for me, Rage 2. Well. The original Rage came out, when did it come out? 6-7 years ago, and was a very brown game set in this desert, quite a dull setting. It was post-apocalyptic, a massive asteroid come and destroyed most of the Earth, and you're one of the survivors who've been underground and blah, 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 all this kind of stuff. And it was just living through a wasteland kind of Mad Max situation, and it was not very well appreciated. I enjoyed it, but I can totally understand why a lot of people actually did not like it, and they did not. So Rage 2 kind of runs with this whole thing of it being quite a dull setting, quite a banal setting, and just flips it on its head and makes it crazy and makes it bright coloured and stupid and over the top. And it's a first person shooter, I should mention. This time around they've given you these crazy powers, like you got this shatter thing where you can smash things with your hand, and you got this smash where you dive in the air and punch the ground and things around you explode. And then you've got overdrive, where I'm doing the button motions with my hands.
Both triggers.
Yeah, both triggers. And after that's built up, it just gets this explosion of color over the screen, like this really pink and blue hues to everything. And you're faster and you're stronger, and the music builds up into like this like really heavy rock style and stuff, and you just work through these waves of enemies, like destroying them all, and like using your shotgun to volley them up in the air and stuff. It's a very silly game in that respect, but it's, I mean, I probably played it for 15-20 minutes and I came away pretty much in love with it. It's really good.
Awesome. Rage 2.
Can I jump in and ask you both a question?
Yeah, go on.
So Death Stranding, we saw a very long trailer, and did you both see the trailer? Okay, and nobody knows what this game is prior to the trailer, and then the trailer showed a lot. What is this game about?
That is a question. A question that I don't think will be answered even after the game is out. Judging by Hideo Kojima's previous games, who knew what was going on in any of the Metal Gear Solids? Honestly, it was all over the place.
All right, let me try to make it even easier, which is not going to be any easier. Can you even explain what you saw?
I think I can get a bit of a grip on that. So Norman Reedus, the guy from Walking Dead, is in the future, and he's got a job at the Royal Mail.
That's exactly what I said. I said he's either a Uber Eats driver or UPS.
Yes, he might be Deliveroo too, but every other trailer's like big and explosions and violence and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, some great games coming out like Rage 2, I just mentioned. But Death Stranding was different from those. And even though it was peculiar and I had no idea what was going on and it did just look odd, it was interesting in the fact that it was so different to everything else that was shown, and I really do want to play it. I mean, even if you are literally just a delivery man trekking across this futuristic landscape, post-apocalyptic landscape, it's captured my attention. The third thing I saw was not that long ago. It was Resident Evil 2, the remake of that.
Okay. Yeah. What did we get from the remake?
So I sat down and played a 20-minute demo, that timed demo of it, which is basically they sit you down, you get as far as you can in 20 minutes and it stops. Now that is, as far as I remember, the same demo they did with the original Resident Evil 2 back in like 97, 98, whenever it came out. I'm a massive Resident Evil 2 nerd. Like, I used to be able to sit down and play that game start to finish, one sitting, without even taking a hit from any of the bad guys. And like the thing is, I trained myself to do it because there were so many like unlockable elements and stuff, and you had to be able to do the game quickly and blah blah blah. So I taught myself how to do it, and now they've took that original game, they've completely broken it down, but they've kept the general themes and like the settings and the characters and stuff, and they've rebuilt this brand new game that's like, it's you know, it's completely modern. It's not the old game redone. It's a new game. I don't know what I was expecting, but for some reason I wasn't expecting that. And what kind of struck me was how it's so very different. It's completely different to play, like how it plays, but at the same time it really captures what the second game felt like. And that's something that's really almost surprising, I guess, for like Resident Evil 7 and Resident Evil 6 were very different to each other and very different to the earlier Resident Evil games, but the Resi 2 remake really feels like Resident Evil 2. Mm. It's claustrophobic and it's eerie and it's proper survival horror again. It's not an action game. It's not about like shooting everything that moves. It's about sometimes running away from stuff and being just unnerved by what's going on around you. It made me jump more than enough in just the 20 minutes I played it. So yeah, I went from being interested in that to really looking forward to it just from that time.
Will you be playing it with the lights on or off?
I'll be playing it in blazing sunshine with the lights on and probably a few torches around me switched on as well, just in case.
Wicked. Right, I'm going to ask you this question now. There's three to pick from, really. I asked Midas the same question. If all games disappeared off the face of the earth and you had to pick one that you'd seen at E3 to take home, at this moment in time, I know it's the first day of the convention, things can change, what would that game be?
That's difficult because I actually really like the things I saw today a lot. I think right now, the place my brain is, the place I am in life, I would go with Rage 2.
Rage 2 over your beloved Resident Evil.
That's the thing. I feel like I've done Resident Evil before.
Okay.
And that's not to discredit the remake in any way. Mm-hmm. I'm really looking forward to it, as I said, but Rage 2 is something fresh and new, and I'm a sucker for first person shooters, and especially ones that are willfully silly with what they're doing. Mm. And bright and colourful, and I love it. It's great.
Oh, awesome, man. Well, thanks for having a quick chat with me today, man. What else have you got coming up in the week?
Well, I've got a bunch of stuff that I've completely forgotten. Fortunately, it's all written down, so I can just check it. But the one thing I do remember that I'm really looking forward to is Cyberpunk.
Yeah, so many people are. Midas and I were saying we're not sure if there's any hands-on that will be available yet. Is it just going to be more content?
I'm not entirely sure, but it would make sense for it to be kind of a hands-off thing where the developers play through a bit for you or show you a video of it and talk about the experience and let you ask questions and that kind of thing, which isn't ideal, but you know, it's better than nothing because we haven't seen anything of it in years.
Mm. All right, well, I might grab you later on in the week then and find out what that's like, and also get myself down there. I want to check that out. So this is day one of the convention and part two of our best of E3 of How to Kill an Hour. I've been Marcus Bronzy.
I've been the one and only Mr. Midas, the face you've seen from your TV screen, the JRPG King.
Ian, this is going to have to be longer than that, you know.
Oh, God. I've been Ian Dransfield. Was that longer?
Yeah.
Yes.
just a bit.
Just a little bit. I've been Marcus Bronzy. Plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Thank you for killing some time with us.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.